And today it is VE Day. The war is
the
over.
The newly crowned queen waves from the balcony.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has
tearing down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth. Cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Bailey Gifford. Capital at risk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Wealth Show. I'm Natalia Vasnia, a reporter at Citywire Wealth Manager, and today we'll be talking about Trump and tariffs. Joining us today is William Marshall, Chief Investment Officer at Hyman Robertson Investment Services. Hi, William. How are you?
Hi. I'm very well, Natalia. Nice to see you today.
Thank you for being here. I think just a quick question to kind of dive into it. How do you feel about the start of this new year? I know there's a lot of things that's been happening, but how do you feel like from an investment perspective?
Yeah, it's been a very interesting part of the year. We always say we come into 2025 and a lot of the themes of 2024 continue. We come in and a big part of it links to what we're going to talk about today, and obviously the US and quite what's all going to take place economic-wise, obviously the tariff piece. But from an investment point of view, it's been quite a positive. We've seen nice returns on asset classes, and some of the areas that maybe struggled a bit in recent years have actually got off to a good start. So it's been really good from an investment point of view. But I'm sure we're early in the year so far. There's a lot still to come, I'm sure.
No, absolutely. And so where are you seeing the most investment opportunities then?
Well, for us, it's been very much we like to be that well-diversified. So we make sure we're well-diversified across the equities. Obviously, US has done really well, but we like some of the other areas within there. So we want to make sure we've got that sector and style diversification. And then within bonds there, again, high yield has done very well. So again, we probably prefer emerging market debt over high yield. And given the extent of what we've seen in some bond yields there, we think there is sort of scope maybe to increase a bit of quality within your bond allocations, and maybe time for people to marginally increase a bit of duration. We've been short duration for much of recent time. That's served us really, really well. But given where we're seeing yields at now, it's maybe time to increase our allocation slightly there, upper duration a wee bit from that point of view. So there's lots of different pieces run about across the sort of investment universe that we find of interest at this time.
You know, that's interesting. And then you touched upon like US equities. I know that there's been a lot of concentration risk in the market around like the Magnificent Seven tech stocks. Have you made any changes like to asset allocation recently to kind of hedge against that US exceptionalism?
We've not made any changes on the back of the US exceptionalism. Whenever we access equity markets as a whole, we want to kind of make sure we've got that nice diversification, I say, between the region, within sector, a route of implementation. So we've been running our US equity allocation about 50%, a wee bit less than 50%, because we want to make sure we weren't overly exposed to the sort of highly concentrated areas. We wanted some exposure to the nice earnings growth within there, but we didn't want our whole portfolio reliant on that success or failure. So we've not made any changes. It's been really useful having access to our US, having a nice exposure to it, so benefit some of the gains at AI and the growth from tech there, but also look to implement it in a range of different ways. So we're not just reliant on the market cap index. So you'll see within us, we'll have some maybe active management within there. And also we've got some factor. We use factor as a way of getting access to different areas of the US market as well. Just make sure we've got that nice diversified exposure and to avoid some of that concentration risk that you alluded to there.
And I know that like Trump is a big topic of conversation across the industry at the moment. How much importance do you give to the type of policy changes that he's making at the moment, and obviously around tariffs?
Yeah, the US is obviously the largest economy and a big piece there, but there's lots of things. Tariffs are being the main sort of line of focus there. But of course, and they are linked to tariffs, but it's not alone. But it is this broader global growth and where we're going to see from an inflation point of view. Again, inflation remains stickier, and on the back of that, bond interest rates stay higher, and therefore bond yields remain higher there. So tariffs are a really, really important part there, but there's other things going on in the world as well, most notably economic growth and inflation coming through, but they're obviously all interrelated as well.
And so what are those other things that you also look at?
Well, in terms of there, obviously you've got implications of valuations, a big thing we look at there. And then also we've seen a big movement within sort of a corporate profit. So you've seen high yield as one referenced earlier. So these sort of viewed as lower quality bonds have generated a really nice return, but high yield spreads have come in considerably there. So again, we need to take that into account about, could those spreads come further, or is it time maybe that actually those spreads might go out, which wouldn't be great for high yield. And then other things we look at is things like earnings momentum and technical factors going on in the market as well. So there's a range of different criteria you look at whenever we're assessing asset classes or assessing portfolios.
And then so just touching upon tariffs. So I know that Trump has made a lot of kind of announcements and then also some pauses on the tariffs that he wanted to make. He said like an additional 10% tariffs on goods from China. He talked about 25% on goods from Canada and Mexico and then put a pause on that. How do you feel like global stock markets are reacting to these type of announcements and kind of decisions from Trump?
Well, it's funny, you asked a question about how things have done year to date, and obviously that links there. It's been given the amount of uncertainty out there, markets have been quite remarkable, actually. They've been really resilient. And again, if you look at some of the other key metrics across global markets, the VIX index, so the sort of usual sort of market volatility and almost Wall Street's view of fear gauge has remained pretty stable. We've seen a generally positive statement for the dollar as a whole. Again, dropping a trade war kind of winner, dollar's been done pretty well, but bond yields have come down a wee bit, but not significantly. Commodity done well, and equity markets as a whole have done really well. Again, we're seeing positive returns, and particularly from maybe the more value areas there. And it's been really interesting. Europe, which is very much thought to be in the sort of line of Trump's sights when it comes to tariff, Europe's been one of the better performing regions year to date there. So again, the market has been remarkably resilient given what's going on. Now, the sort of rationale for that, again, there's a few different options out there. It could be that a lot of maybe investors are not really taking Trump fully seriously, and I think a lot of his sort of talk is rhetoric there. Or it could be actually companies are much better insulated. They've got good strong balance sheets there, and therefore they think actually any earnings implications won't have significant implications. Or it could be markets have actually had already priced a lot of the bad news in to the portfolios again. So there are a range of different scenarios there. It's hard to know quite exactly what one it is there. If it is a wee bit of market complacency, that's probably one that is most at risk, because that's when the markets will get a biggest fright if it turns out his sort of tariffs are much stronger than people are anticipating.
So you were saying like different kind of people have different strategies. As a like long-term like strategic investor, how do you position yourself in a world where tariffs are likely to come up for certain regions? Because people say that if he puts high tariffs on China or the EU, then those equity markets might become less attractive to investors. And on the other hand, kind of US small cap, mid cap will get more traction. Is that something that you're seeing? And do you kind of see opportunities? Maybe this is a separate question, but do you see opportunities in the US small cap and mid cap space then as a result of the tariffs?
Yeah, in terms of tariffs, there's obviously the big thing is there's lots up in the air at this time. So when we think as a strategic investor, it's kind of thinking the different scenarios it could play out and then think about how our portfolios might do under those different scenarios. So the kind of three main scenarios that are in our head are kind of he sticks to his election process. And then you've kind of got, without making it sound too much like a game show, you've got the kind of deal or no deal type scenario. There is the three big scenarios that could come out. In the deal scenario, which is probably feels like that's the kind of market's base case at this time, this is where, again, a lot of negotiations take place. And actually, you might get some short-term market volatility, but ultimately it sees itself out. And then ultimately, maybe the Fed, a lot of the Fed's policies that maybe might act as a bit of a sort of tailwind for equity markets, and that might support some of the areas you flagged there, Natalia, if you've got that kind of base case come through. If it turns out it's going to stick with election promises, which were quite out there type stuff in some of the forms of tariff, it was well recorded that tariff was one of his favourite words type stuff there, or I don't even one of his favourite words, it was his favourite word there. That could be quite disruptive, particularly in the broad implementation, the significant implementation of a number of tariffs. That could actually be quite stagflationary for a lot of markets there. Again, in these sort of markets, again, the dollar might be supported by higher interest rates, but the market volatility might impact a lot of business confidence. in that sort of scenario, you might see some alternatives. So things that maybe listed infrastructure, and then within equities, you might see some of the more value or the more income type strategies doing better, certainly in a relative case, given the higher inflation there. And you might see some European bonds do better as the ECB looks to cut rates to help protect against the sort of slowing economic growth. And in the no deal scenario, which definitely feels like the most extreme there, again, it's, we view it as a really low probability. That's the one that you could see significant implications for global trade. This is, again, could be really quite deflationary. Bond markets, bonds might do really well in that scenario. And despite the sort of anticipated fiscal stimulus you would expect, you could see risk assets struggle in that scenario. So there's a range of different scenarios in them, and the winners and losers in each scenario really does vary. So as you say, we when we build portfolios, we're very much strategic investors. We want to make sure we've kind of got our bases covered where we can. So a big part of our proposition is making sure our portfolios are being well scenario tested. So we put them through our own in-house economic scenario model, looks at 5,000 different economic scenarios there. So making sure I have a sense how robust they are for different conditions. But also we want to make sure we are that well diversified, both between asset classes, but also well diversified within asset classes. Because when thinking about say equities, for example, that there could be a range of different styles that do well or poorly in the different scenarios. We want to make sure we've got some portfolios that are able to help us navigate our way through these different scenarios as they play out, Natalia.
And could you pinpoint any specific opportunities in the US market that you see then to encourage that diversification you were talking about?
Well, I say we are more strategic. We're not typically dabbling in and out a tactical point of view there, but we do valuations do for the Magnificent Seven. It's been a great darling of the market, done well. Valuations look more extreme than other, extending in other areas there. So for us, I say when we access our US exposure, we look to sort of make sure we're that diversified of route of implementation. So for us, again, it is making sure you're not just exposed to these seven stocks that dominate a large portion of the market. So think about getting a broad exposure there and maybe implement it a range of different ways. So you can have a little bit of traditional index tracking there, a bit of active, that gives the manager a bit of dynamism to move according to how they see it. And then also access the other areas, whether it be through factor investing, something we use a lot in the institutional space, and we use in the retail space for our portfolios that we run for HRIS. But also, again, as you mentioned, some of the global small cap exposure we have as well helps access there. So for us, it's about making sure these different scenarios could play out in different ways. Try and make sure you're not exposed to sort of binary outcome and spread your bets. Use sensible diversification that way, Natalia.
And then coming back to the kind of Trump and his politics, what do you think, are there like any specific sectors that you think are going to be the most impacted by his decisions?
Yeah, well, there's a range of different, obviously, areas out there. One of the ones that's kind of viewed as the most kind of, and his line of sights is a lot of the vehicle and car manufacturing. Again, something like over 90% of US trucks are imports from Mexico and China. And it's thought what the average US car price could go up by about $3,000 if tariffs were implemented. And it's worth noting, I think some of the, again, the US vehicle import numbers could kind of get exaggerated slightly or are quite difficult to follow because different components of cars are meant to cross the border several times according to on the assembly process there. But vehicle manufacturing is a big sort of potential implication there. And also electronic goods. Obviously, when he was last elected, he put a 50% tariff on things like washing machines there that had implications on the prices there. There is a chance that, again, tariffs in that area could quite implications on electronic goods there. Pricing oil and petrol, like the oil and gas, like as we've seen, nearly impacted again. Is it Canada? I think impacts about 60% or about 60% of US's crude imports come from Canada, and Mexico's about 10%. So oil tariffs there could be quite significant. It's also sort of secondary thing. A lot of the sort of oil manufacturer refineries in the States are very much set up for Canadian oil. So actually, if they were to go and use oil from elsewhere, there's actually a lot of cost and infrastructure required updating for that changes there. And then the other one that often gets cited is a lot of food comes in from particularly from Mexico. There's some was 80% of guacamoles, 80% of avocados come from Mexico into the States. So if you're a guacamole fan, I think you're in trouble for the States, and you better be delving deeper into your pocket there. So There's a lot of different areas there that could impact there. Probably closer for home for the UK and Europe. The European car manufacturers is a big part of what's going on there. A lot of the UK and UK and Europe have export a large number of car manufacturing parts into the States there. So it's areas like those that could be significantly impacted by some of the stuff that comes out the back of these tariffs.
And so what do you think kind of reaction would come out of Europe and UK because of these tariffs, like you were saying, on the impact in the UK manufacturing space? Because I know that he also announced like a 25% tariff on steel and aluminium yesterday.
Yeah. So it's going to be this, probably the negotiations that take place, and whether there's sort of you scratch my back and I'll scratch your back type stuff, particularly in Europe here, there. From a UK perspective, so far the UK has been kind of taking a let's be friends with everyone type approach, where we're kind of trying not to offend anybody, but it could well be the UK gets forced to pick a team because the UK has been coming under pressure from Europe. Also, Canada is part of the Commonwealth, have under a lot of scrutiny. So it could be the UK gets challenged on that side. But to date, the UK has largely kind of managed to sort of navigate its way through. As you say, the steel and aluminium impact could have implications for the UK. But again, it is worth noting, is it only 15% of British exports go to the States? So any tariffs over impact on an economy would be expected to be relatively low, albeit maybe for specific areas and specific sectors, the implications could be significant. The one that gets talked about, maybe it's just because it's from my part of the world, Natalia, but the whiskey, the tariff that came in the last time Trump was in for the whiskey was a 25% tariff, and it's thought to have impacted revenues by about 33%. So much as it may be an overall impact GDP relatively small, for certain areas it could be more significant now.
And maybe like on the flip side, because do you think there's any way that kind of tariffs would have a positive impact on certain sectors? Because obviously the discourse is that it's for more protectionism of the US. Obviously the US is looking to be a bit more self-sufficient, mainly like in the energy sector. But do you think there's like a kind of angle or argument to make that tariffs would be positive for markets?
Well, again, a lot of this will come down to how much is in the price and almost how bad are people currently pricing. And if it's not as bad as that there, it might be better than people are anticipating. Again, I think a lot of it will come through quite on the extent of the sort of the tariffs that are announced and how the retaliations and negotiations take place there. Some potential wins, you could say, particularly from a UK point of view, might be closer bonds get grown again with Europe or broader into other areas there, and you might see some goods that were previously meant to be going to the States are now coming to the UK but at a lower price than they were. So again, there might be potential benefits that might help some of the inflation stuff out there. That said, again, markets hate uncertainty, and the longer this rumbles on, the sort of tariffs come in, they then get cancelled or postponed, and then retaliation come in, the markets don't like that as a whole. But there are potential areas where you could see maybe some winners on this situation. But again, nobody really likes uncertainty, and nobody really would like if it ultimately got turned into a sort of global trade war. That's not viewed as positive. Yeah.
And also you were mentioning before how you were kind of preparing your kind of risk proofing your portfolios, paying them through a wide range of scenarios. And are you preparing for kind of like an escalation of this trade war? Because some economists say that this an initial set of tariffs is only the first step of the trade war. Do you think that there's a risk of this escalating at some point, and how are you kind of hedging for that risk as an investor?
Yeah, it's not our base case. Our base case is you get some sort of negotiated deals take place there. But whenever we build a portfolio, we're thinking about what we'd do in terms of extremes. So again, that's where we'd expect our lower risk holdings, that's their job within the sort of portfolio to come good. Again, maybe it's an overly simplistic analogy, but I often think of my portfolio as a bit of almost a football or a sports team type stuff there. And that's when I really would hope that the defenders and the team would really show their own type stuff here. So some of the lower risk, I say the cash, maybe some of the shorter duration bonds, that's when you would hope that they would give you some protection there. And some, again, just some of that protection from the defenders within the portfolio.
Do you have like a specific process to how you kind of analyze politics and the impact it has on markets?
We always say, maybe not so much politics in it. We look at, when we're looking at asset classes and funds, we kind of think of three main areas. So you think of things like the valuations. We think of fundamentals. So that's like company earnings. And then you look at the technicals out there. So what's maybe going to drive the fundamentals? What's going to be a good or a bad aspect relating to the fundamental? And that's kind of where some of the politics stuff comes in when we think about the technical aspects there. So again, what implications could those have on ultimately on stock pricing? So it's part of that valuations, technicals and fundamentals piece is the kind of that politic risk it's assessed in when we're looking at asset classes within our portfolios.
And then one point that we haven't touched upon yet, which is AI and tech stocks. Do you think in any way those stocks will be affected by kind of Trump's policies? And I know that we had kind of a shake up of the AI kind of industry a few weeks ago with DeepSeek. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, as you say, the DeepSeek really brought this to the fore and brought a number of questions into the market there. Where I think it potentially could be AI could face challenges or be dragged into the tariff discussions, obviously, as any sort of retaliatory things. We've already seen Google get excited there as a sort of Chinese were investigating the sort of antitrust piece there. So they ultimately could have implications for that there. But again, that's just one of a number of sectors there could have implications there. But again, if tariffs were to kick off, it's going to be much more, once the devil might be in the detail as to quite what they look like and what the retaliation would be.
Would you have like any final thoughts to add to this discussion?
Yeah, no, the one when we talked in advance about coming here was quite, again, think about the implications for the UK. And again, the UK as a whole, because of our relatively low level of exports to the US, and the fact that actually the US actually view themselves as being in surplus to us, and we kind of view the US think they've got a surplus and we think we've got a surplus to the States, because of just how the data's calculated. So that might cause some of interest there, but it might actually mean that the UK maybe can navigate its way through this hole here a bit better than some of the other nations, because we're maybe not quite at the same risk there. There is one, again, some subtlety about some of the Windsor Agreement, the Windsor Framework part of the Brexit deal, where actually Northern Ireland exports would form part of the UK, so therefore might be exempt if we don't have any tariffs, but the imports might be subject to any European tariff. So there might be, again, just a slight impact for certain areas in the market. And there was a lecturer from Belfast Uni thinking that actually, given the nature of the UK, Northern Ireland, it sits as part of the UK for exports, it might mean it might encourage investment into certain areas of Northern Ireland coming out of Southern Ireland there. So that's one thing I thought was really interesting, because the UK might be able to sort of avoid some of the worst of the direct implications of tariffs, albeit any indirect implications of a slower growth would ultimately have implications as well. But for us, it's very much think about your portfolio, different scenarios that play out, and don't forget to be diversified at this time, because it feels really important this time.
I think that's a great way to conclude the conversation. You've been listening to The Wealth Show with myself, Natalia Vasnier, and today we were joined by William Marshall, Chief Investment Officer at Hymans Robertson Investment Services. For any questions, please feel free to email us at wmnews@citywire.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.
But today is VE Day. The war is over.
Eagle has landed. Apollo 11 has
tearing down the Berlin Wall.
Since 1929, the Monks Investment Trust's mission has been to help investors grow their wealth. We aim to do this today by taking a three-dimensional approach to growth: cyclical growth, rapid growth, and steady growth.
The World Wide Web.
Wall Street is in turmoil as stocks crash.
The Monks Investment Trust, managed by Baillie Gifford. Capital at risk.